Welcome back to the Flush Hour Podcast. It's your boy, Matt Kang.
Christian Heavens.
Episode 2, we're back.
Back. Getting ready. You know, how's the response from the first episode? A lot of people checked it out. You saw, you talked to some people about it?
Yeah, I feel like you're ducking the fit check today, but...
Oh, right. That's just how we start.
I don't know if that's what we want to do or not.
Bruh, let's do it then.
Let's just talk about the fit check before we go into everything.
Okay, all right.
What you got on?
The melon hat. Folks on my social media see that I did a little shoot with them recently for their hats. And then I got the quiet golf shirt. We talked about them last
week. That's new. That's the new drop, too.
Yeah, new drop. This is fresh. Very, like we talked about, minimalist. Very just a low-key logo, good quality shirt. And then... I still don't know if these are swim trunks, but I wear these all the time. These Grayson,
those are definitely
these Grayson
swim trunks.
Shorts. These Grayson shorts, dog. These must go hard. These are my everyday boys with the Griffies. That's it, low key.
I actually don't mind the fit other than the posture because now your belly's popping out. So.
Yeah, it's coming out. I'm working on it, dog. I've been drinking too much and eating too much out, eating too many French fries.
I don't mind
but
it.
It's coming.
I'm going to give you a 7 because quiet's the homies.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even have that polo, by the way.
So. Really? Dang,
you got that
first.
Before
that's
me.
That's a first on my end, having something that you ain't got.
No, it's cool. And the weather's getting nice, too. So if the
bro, it's going to be 77 tomorrow. Hi.
It's going to be cold at night.
But then it's going to be 90 the next two days. But yeah. I'm ready for that, though. Shoot, actually, when I did the shoot that with Melon, we were at Troon North. And that was the first morning where it was chilly in the morning.
Chilly.
Like, I had to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been waiting for this for 6 months.
I know.
Because it's hot as hell.
All right.
What you got?
This is a hat I got for $5 in Japan.
Hold it down.
Obviously, the To The Nines merch because we're doing a massive giveaway tomorrow.
Oh, snap. Wait, so Tuesday or?
Wait, no, tomorrow's Friday.
Right, but they're going to see this on Monday.
Oh.
So they're going to miss the giveaway by then. But whoever got it, got it. Shout
whoever
out to
got it, got it. Right. We got some custom chrome shorts and some Jordans from StockX, but
StockX be coming with them with the socks. Get the socks a little shout out.
We got the Warhol Cause Uniqlo socks. I live by these.
Dang. I'm just solely off of this here. I ain't gonna hate because, you know, I'm a big Jordan fan. So I'm gonna give it an 8.5.
Yeah.
That was a terrible gap, but yeah. That's how the morning's been for both of us, but I appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, got to get it going, dog.
What
you got, money calling?
No, I got the homie Vince the Barber who was part of my event.
Oh, man, we got to talk about that.
I feel like, is this the type of podcast where we could answer calls?
Tell him what's up. Let's see what we got. Vince the Barber. Shout out to Vince
the
Barber.
Yo, Vince, what up? Oh, shit. No, I'm filming a podcast.
Tell we on live.
We got the boys in the merch.
Oh, and he got the hoodie. Yeah, he got the merch
on. What up?
Shout out to Vince the Barber.
That was Vince and Ravi. Vince is a celebrity barber in LA.
Okay.
He cuts up KD, Booker, Travis, Kelsey, Ludacris, you name it. And then he was just cutting Ravi's hair. Ravi's Drake's tour manager who played in the event.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Dang,
so it's like that's what's
about
crazy
that.
About the event. If we can get into it a little bit, I mean, when you asked, we had so many powerful people that people don't really know about because they're not celebrities. They're the people behind the celebrities, and they're the ones that curate stuff that we all enjoy.
Yeah.
So like,
well, let's let it build, dog. Let's not get to it right away. Let's get some. You know, they're gonna get to this and then, you know, cut it off. Now we're gonna keep y'all watching for a little bit, listening to us, and we got TT9 coming up later on in the episode that we'll get going. Anything else been going though? Like what's the word?
Just
what's
been doing that, man, world? Just focusing on this event. It's finally finished. Obviously rolled out the content slowly,
right?
And then working on the YouTube.
Oh yeah, we gotta get that one.
But
going for sure.
Other than that, yeah, we got the giveaway and that's about it right now.
Bro, I wish I would have been there, but I had to help my homie,
bailed
Aaron
on
Grimes.
Me,
yeah, I had to help my boy in Q school. I wish I could say get through Q school, first stage.
Oh, you ended up caddying for him?
Caddy, dog. Oh. Man, I got a rash, like, on my back. No, not, I don't know if
from
rash
carrying
is
the
right
bag?
From carrying the bag, bro. It's worn, like, my skin is, like, worn off.
What kind of bag was he using?
Fucking Malbon, but it was, like, a... one single strap bag. It looked good, but it was
a single strap bag for Q school.
Yeah, that was a stretch. Was
I should have gotten one of those Jones bags from our event.
Right, that's exactly because that bag was heavy, single strap. We played, it was like 6.5 hour rounds, dog.
It was still hot, too.
Bruh, that reminded me, I do not miss Q school, dog. Q school. Q school is so stressful and tough, and it's just long days. You got to play good. You can't afford many days. And one thing I realized, these kids different, dog.
It's different than when
they,
we
were. They getting better and better, dog. They hitting it. They're all the stereotypical, like, 6'2 to 6'4 kids. Whole bunch of leverage. They're hitting it 320, 330. And I still could beat their ass, but it's still a hell of an advantage to just be able to do that. And the young kids just don't know. They're just so, they don't have scar tissue. Like, they haven't failed enough. So they don't know. Like, they just get out there with no fear and, like, ignorance is bliss, I guess, in a way. And they just going out there shooting low numbers. Like,
I think there's, like, positives and negatives to that. I think, like, when you're young and talented and you're supported by your school or you have financial support now, I think it's, like, so easy to just get into it and be good. Yeah. I just think long term, when you do hit a roadblock, because we all do, then you start dealing with adversity and it's hard to kind of almost get out of it. And you looked at, like, you look at Tiger, for example. He was at the top forever, right? And then once life really caught up to him, I mean, like, it's just been a grind for years. And I think you see that from the GOAT to, like, now this new young generation. It's amazing because everybody's so talented and strong and gifted. But also, I also think, like, the scar tissue that you do build is what builds character.
Yeah. I tell you, when I knew that these kids was different, I went out there. Grimes likes to start off putting, whatever. So I get out there, meet him by the bag, by the putting green. And I'm starting to feel like I'm playing in the tournament. But I start getting those feelings. And, you know, I had to go to the bathroom, dog. I had to go to the bathroom. And I was like, dang, I'm supposed to be out here watching my guy. It's going to be a line in the bathroom. I got to just hear him get this out, because if I don't do this, I'm going to struggle the whole day. The whole struggle. So
that's
why
you always got to carry those man wipes.
Got to keep the man wipes in the golf bag. In the golf bag. That's next level. So I went up there. I was like, hey, Grimes, I'll meet you at the chipping green, dog. Like, I'll be back. I got to go. Get to the bathroom, and this is when I knew that these kids were different. It was not a line in the bathroom.
No one was there.
Nobody was there. Bruh, 10 years ago, for a damn moonlight event, if you had to go to the bathroom,
you'd have to wait.
It was a line. Motherfuckers was so nervous.
Oh, my gosh. And it was $100 to play.
$100
to
play?
By the way, Moonlight was the best mini tour in Florida when we were there.
Yeah, that's where PGA Tour players used to play on the regular.
Yeah, if you had to give me a choice to use the bathroom or warm up, I'd be in the bathroom.
Bruh, I had to go to the bathroom before every tournament. And if I didn't, I was going to play bad. And if I had to go twice, I was going to shoot 67 or less every time. In part because I used to eat McDonald's every morning before breakfast. So it was one to get the McDonald's out, and then another was for the nerves, I guess. But these kids ain't nervous. Like, they ain't getting up there. Like, they not feeling the nerves. It's another round of golf. Maybe they don't understand, like, how much money it is, because they're not putting up the money, having to work for the money that much. But golly, I was like, man, the bathroom used to be a popular spot before a golf tournament.
Yeah, it was like your way to reset and actually focus in on what you drop a deuce and you make a prayer.
Right.
No one's around you. It's quiet. No one has to see your hand shaking.
Right.
Do that little Q school breath. You unlock the door and you're ready to go.
Bro, it'd be times before, like, the Florida Pro Golf Tour where me and Willie just be in the stall next to each other talking shit, playing music. And I'll see his shoes under there. I'll be like, hey, dog. He's like, nigga. I'm like, yeah, dog. It's me.
Yo, you know, like, the craziest thing about Willie talking about McDonald's? I remember I played a Moonlight with him. And we drove together, and we went to breakfast, and it was McDonald's. I mean, he loves Mickey D's.
Oh, you ain't lying.
We go to Mickey D's. We go play. We go to Mickey D's again after we play.
Yeah.
We ended up practicing after. I'm like, dinner time. Bro, we go there for the third. I'm like, Willie be shooting 65 eating Mickey D's three times a day.
Bro, that's the breakfast of champions, though. I don't care what nobody say. We used to get the McGriddle and the orange juice, because that orange juice is fire. I don't know if it's real orange it's juice. Fake. It's orange drink. It's still fire. I don't care.
I got that purple stuff. Yeah.
Right. Bro, that was my routine. I swear, I promise you, for Florida Pro Golf Tour for a year, if I had McDonald's before and I took a shit, I was shooting 69 or better. And I was playing
good. That's crazy. You know what? I still remember there were days where you and I would play those events in the morning because we could ask to play with each other.
Yeah.
Pause. You wouldn't eat sometimes.
Oh, no. I got
to
have an
empty stomach. That's crazy to me.
That's part of me going to the bathroom, too. I had to have an empty stomach, dog. I couldn't.
It doesn't make any sense. How are you going to play a five-hour round when you're nervous with no food in your system?
Bro, the body changes, though. Like, you ever had, like, a hot dog or something at the turn and just hack it? Like, I don't know. If I had, like, a hot dog or something. Pause. Is that? Yeah, that's a pause moment. That's no Diddy.
So we out here just slugging down glizzies on the turf.
Glizzies and hacking off from it.
Oh, shoot.
No, but your body, like, changes when you have, like, versus a lot of food in your body or your stomach. It changes. So, and I just didn't have money to eat much during the round, so I just was on E from the start.
I don't know how that makes any sense, that but I get it, man.
Hey, them scores was making sense. Scores is definitely makes sense. But, hey, speaking of Q school, and this, we talked about this a little bit last year too, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sport we play. I thought it was golf, and I thought it was golf at a high level. But I'm looking at Golf Digest. They came out with an article, and I saw Eastside posted, repost the similar sentiments on their page. And it talks about the mental health benefits of playing golf. Let me read some of these. Let me see if you get any of these mental health benefits from playing golf. Golf reduces anxiety.
Flush it down the drain. That's not true.
That's not true, bro. I had a 2-foot putt against Hicks on number 14 Monday.
Like
I had a 2-foot putt against Hicks on 14 at True North the other day, and I was so nervous. That anxiety was through the roof.
Yeah, I don't know.
I blocked it, missed the whole putt. I lost the match, too. He's beat me, dog.
He's him right now.
Provides a form of therapy. I don't know what kind of therapy that is.
I would say it does if you need an exit from your current life situations.
But that's like if you have a headache and somebody step on your toe and you like, oh, my toe hurt, but now I forgot about my headache, so that makes me feel better. No.
I mean, it just masks the pain.
With another form of pain. Okay, I'll give you that. Reduces effects of depression. You ever miss
hell
three?
Nah, bro. I be crying myself to sleep every night.
Y'all ever miss three cuts in a row and don't know when your next paycheck coming? Talking about reducing depression.
Also, Christian talking about how he had to go to the bathroom caddying for Aaron. But, like, you know, when you see someone else in that moment, too, you feel like that should be me.
Yeah, nah.
You get depressed. You're like, I ain't got the money. I ain't got the time.
Right. Look at somebody out there. Aaron played pretty good. He just had a couple of bad stretches. But I saw some other guys out there. And I was like, no, why are you out here?
The hardest part about that word, which I don't want to make a joke about it, but also with Q school is like, listen, man, when you build a whole year for Q school,
right,
and you finish dead last, and that you walk into your car, and your phone rings, and it says, Dad? Right. Let me tell you a quick story about that. Yeah. I just want to get into it. First Q school I ever played, ever in my life. First round, I shot like 87.
Oh, no.
Second round, I shoot like 80.
No.
Missed a cut.
Yeah.
Dad calls me. How did it go, Matt? I go, yeah, you know, Dad, I shot even par. I was so embarrassed. He's like, you shot even par? Like, yeah, you know, I kind of got grinded through it. I don't know if I'll get through, but it's all good. And he's like, you know, I was watching your scores online, right? My heart sank.
Bro, because they so full of shit. They don't call throughout the day. They call 5 minutes after you walk out the scores and the scores post. Like, you know they've been watching.
Exactly. And that shit breaks your heart. I was too stupid and young to think you were paying attention. Bro, my dad's like, I lost respect for you because you lied to me.
Bro, I've seen so many players, even my closest friends, even myself with my grandfather, like, man, no arguments and discussions with your dad. Like, bro, I don't know what they expect. Like, it's hard. We went out there and tried. Don't ask me why I hit the ball. Why I doubled number nine? Why can't I play better on the par fives? Why am I it making bogeys on par threes. Listen, because I did it on purpose. Like, what do you think?
Exactly.
Like, what? Like, damn, and I was trying.
And that shit gets in your head and it breaks your heart. So,
bro, that is fun. And that's true. That adds to the depression.
It
so
does.
I don't know about that. Let's see. Offers beneficial social interaction.
100%.
You think so?
100%.
I got to work on that more.
I mean, it's all selective. If you get paired up with a group of people you don't like, it's going to ruin your round of golf. But if you're with your homies and they bring a couple other homies and you build this community like we did with Sniper Gang.
Facts.
Fucking amazing.
I get that. Yeah, that I do. I'm more into that aspect of golf now, trying to build networks and relationships.
But your perspective, I think that is catering to like somebody new to the game.
Yeah,
if you go to like a COVID golfer, they're going to be like, oh, I love everything. I love everyone I'm playing with. But I think we've been in the game so long, it's like, I don't want to be in a bad group paired up with people that aren't on the same vibe.
Right. I'm with that for sure. With that for sure. And then the last one, it's pretty much the same as the other one. It lowers stress, but.
No. I got so much gray hair.
Yeah, mine coming in strong too.
Bro, I got gray hairs in my nostrils now and my armpits. That's just what it is. That's not age. That's golf.
I ain't at the armpits yet. That is golf.
That's golf.
Do you get nervous on first tee shots still?
You know what? Not as bad. If I take a break from golf, which I did this year, and then I played the U.S. Open qualifier, I topped my tee shot, and my heart was out of my chest. But then I played two tournaments after that, and it was like normal. I always feel like I get a little bit more antsy than the average person, but I also know I think subconsciously I do that on purpose because if I don't feel like I care and I don't have that pressure,
right,
I actually play terribly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's interesting, too, because, like, this is more helping y'all with golf. It took me a long time to separate nerves with playing bad or a bad shot. Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody's nervous. Tiger's nervous. I guess I got to stop saying Tiger because he's not playing much. But, like, Scotty's nervous at certain points, and we're nervous at certain points. But it doesn't mean we're going to hit a bad shot. When I was younger, when I used to get nervous and butterflies, like, oh, shit, I'm nervous as fuck.
Yeah,
people watching, I'm about to shank this or top this. Like, I'm not going to hit a bad shot or a good shot. And that I had to change, disassociate the two. So,
yes.
Like you were saying, like, you feel like you need that to play better. Like, that's
Right.
But a lot of people do. Like, even Patrick Reed, he talks about he plays better when he's nervous. Maybe he doesn't, maybe he does, but you got to disassociate nerves to a bad shot.
Yeah.
And
yeah, 100%.
That came from, like, me watching golf all the time and even talking with my dad or something, saying, like, oh, you played bad. Were you nervous? Or somebody hit a bad shot on golf and say, oh, he was nervous. He choked. That they don't necessarily equate, right? They're not necessarily associated or directly related. So you got to learn that.
Yeah.
So kids out there, you're going to play in tournaments. You're going to be nervous. But that doesn't mean you're going to hit a bad shot. So you got to still play with courage. You still got to go out there and believe in yourself and just go through your routine and not worry about the outcome so much. So that's a little quick tip, you know, get that out there.
And to add to that, go to the bathroom before you tee off.
Got to.
Use that good toilet paper. Cue school breath.
And do use the man wipes.
Use the man wipes and lock in.
Got to use the man wipes, especially if you're wearing white shorts.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
Oh, snap. Let's see what else we got going on here, man. When last time you did Q School, like Corn Ferry Q School?
2 years ago.
Did you do it last year? Did we do it the same time? No.
No. Oh, we might have.
No, we did, actually. We were talking, we just didn't make it far to meet each
other.
All right. Well, we got
2 years
going.
Ago. I feel like that was, what was that, 2022? Yeah, that was the best year of golf I actually had.
Yeah.
Because I got through two stages, and then I didn't get through, and then I ended up doing Latin America Q School. Shoot, those 3 years ago, I lied. 2021.
I'll be fine. Okay.
And then I got my card on the Latin America Tour. And then after that, it was like, I played great until April of 2022, and then went.
Right. Oh, let's talk to him about this just quickly, since we talk about Q School. Just inform our people the process of Corn Ferry Tour Q School. I get asked so many times, like, how do you qualify for the PGA Tour or Corn Ferry?
To keep it concise and simple, four stages.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have your card or go through PGA Tour University, you can't skip pre-qualifying.
Right.
So you got pre-qualifying, which is 3 days, which is around August.
All right.
You got first stage is in September, 4 days.
And these are tournaments. So it's a 3-day tournament, then it's a 4-day tournament.
Which is, and the first pre-qual, it's $2,500.
Yeah.
You get through, you got to pay the other $2,500 pretty much.
I think it might be a little bit more now.
Yeah, it's like $6,000 total.
Yeah.
And then now that's it's where it really starts because you have everybody that's lost their card, college golfers that turned pro, guys that got through PGA Tour University, European Tour players, Japan, everybody from all over the world. And it's like a field of 100 and top 30 get through.
Yeah.
Then you get through that. Then you go to second stage.
It's even more ballers. It's more, all the best players
like
from
tour
first.
Players now.
Right. Everything's like bottlenecking. So you get the best from like the 9 first stages to now or 12 first stages. And then you got the second stages was like 6. So you get the winners of those. And there is just bottlenecking to the best players. And you just got to keep balling.
You got to ball. And I think I want to say like the top like 100 players on every tour worldwide get to go right into second stage. So you're pretty much playing in a field of like a tour event.
Right.
And you got to finish in the top 25 to 30, depending on how many players are at your site.
But it's even less now. I think it's like 18
it's like
now.
15, 18, yeah. And then if you get through that, you get into finals. And at finals, you essentially, once you get into finals, you get conditional status.
Right, on the Korn Ferry Tour.
But in finals, I want to say there's like 150 or more players.
Yeah, it's a lot of players.
It's like heavily populated.
Right. They're playing 2 courses, typically.
Actually, I think there's more than that, dude.
There might be this year. I got to check the process.
The only good thing about the new rules is top 5 from finals get on the PGA Tour.
Straight to the PGA Tour, which is good.
Pretty much 6 to 50 get starts on Korn Ferry.
Right.
And then after that, once you're in the conditional status bracket.
You're Monday qualifying.
You're spending $50,000 next year chasing Mondays, and you have no choice because you need to get starts.
Yeah, you got to get starts early. But that's the process, man. Like, it's tough. Like, pre-qual, if you're a good player, you should be able to make it through there. You can have bad days in pre-qual and get through. First stage, you can't really have a bad day. You can have decent days and get through shooting, like, depends on where you are. But if you shoot average, like, 70 through all these rounds, you should get through. Where I was at, I think 600 got through at Southern Dunes and a couple other spots.
Well, I got screwed because the last time I did it, I shot 11 under and I missed it by like 1 or 2. And it was a COVID year in California. And I realized like every really good golfer from all over the world came and played.
Yeah.
I never did it again.
Bro, it depends on the sites. Like when
sites matter.
Got high, I was in Lakeland, Florida. And let me find that one. I think I shot, 4 days. I think I shot 11 under and got through, I think, by 2.
Yeah.
I think 9
sites
under was
matter.
It.
I think, like, California is tough because there's so many good golfers. It's the closest to Asia, so all the Asian dudes come over there and play. So it's just, like, a place where, like, everybody's just really, really, really good.
Right.
And then you go to somewhere in the middle of America or maybe up in the north. Everyone, there's always, like, everyone's really good, but there's a handful that, like, you know, just had a good week through pre-qual and then picked those sites.
Right, right.
So it might be a little bit easier. So you have to be selective where you go.
Yeah, so if y'all know somebody that's doing Korn Ferry Tour qualified, man, it's expensive. If you go all the way in, you're going to spend anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000. Just shoot them a little Venmo. Give them $50 for lunch or something, man. It's expensive. It's tough. You come up short. It's depressing. We just talked about that. You don't know what you're going to do with your career. You feel like you worked hard for this one moment, and then it's over. And then even if you make it to final stage and you don't get full status, like, it's still, man, you got a lot more money to spend to keep the dream alive.
The hardest part about getting into finals, too, which no one talks about, is you get through first and you get through second. Now you have to think, yo, am I going to do European Tour Q School and travel across the world and spend the money and the energy and the jet lag to affect maybe what I have here?
Right, right.
You get through finals, you have to skip PGA Tour America's Q School. You're pretty much skipping European Tour. And then it's like, let's say you finish 130th and you get no starts and you get conditional status.
Right.
You have to now say, oh, in like 4 weeks, I have to think about playing Asian Tour Q School in January.
Yeah.
And it's just like the timing of it all, because all the Q schools are around the same time. It's really hard to do more than one. You can push 2 if you have the funds and you have the time. but it's a lot to balance. And I think that's what's hard is like you go all in on one tour, you don't get your card, and now you're sitting there jobless next year saying, all right, I got to play mini tours and everything is on me to like wait 1 year to make this happen again.
Right.
Hey, another thing too, sponsors. Do not call your player after every round. Do not put that pressure on them. You got to alleviate the pressure. You can't make it sound like you're riding them on every shot and round. Like, God, just let them just give. I know it's a lot of money you're giving them, but just give them the money and let them play. And do not call them 5 minutes after the round because they probably on the phone with their dad anyway getting cussed out.
Exactly. Facts.
Anyway, we doing all this just to – I mean, all these guys doing this just to be one of the top players in the country. Like the guys playing in the match coming up. Did you hear about how much they getting paid at the match? You
know, like four M's or something like that?
$4 million each to do an exhibition round at, what's my course in Vegas?
Wynn?
No. Come on. Oh,
Shadow Creek?
Yeah, Shadow Creek. And they just, it's a little hit and giggle, and they making $4 million. Man, it's crazy.
That's from the match. Think about what they might be getting extra from their other brand endorsements that they have.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not required for them to do that.
I think they need to put the money up.
Absolutely not.
They need to put it up. They should to make it work. That's how we play golf.
For $5 motherfucking dollars, yo.
Yeah. Feeling it, pressured.
They should, when it would be more competitive, but bruh, it's TV, bro.
They wasting our time. You think it's going to be good?
I don't even think I'll watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch this.
The matches don't do it for people.
It's not. And they keep doing it and keep trying different things with different celebrities and stuff.
I'll tell you one of the biggest reasons why. And I had a call with somebody from Bleacher Report and I told them this. I said, your hosts are terrible. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I just say like you need someone that is informative of the game and culture, but then that can also like create an environment that makes it more interesting. And I think like the Rory one with JT and I think it was Ro Zhang and Lexi Thompson. DJ Khaled was the host. He really don't know nothing about golf.
Bro, that's just show how they just reaching and thirsty. Now I do like Chuck though.
I love Chuck, but the thing is like I actually said this. Yo, you know, it's not about me. It could be anybody. You need to find someone that could like walk the course with them. Maybe hit a shot with them that could actually hit it as good as these guys and these girls. Engage in conversation and be competitive and also be funny. But then also can ask Rory, like, yo, your driver, it's a tour issue. Or Scottie Scheffler, why do you have a stealth one face on your QI10?
Yeah. No, we need fresh.
Wait, what?
Bro, we need the players to buy into that. I don't know if the players fully buy
in. I don't know if the players – I actually don't blame the players. The players are there to do their job, which is hit. If you
bro, that is not their job no more. That's the thing. That's what they need.
So
they are entertainers, right? But they're getting so much money to entertain. I'm sick of it now. Thinking that golfers just need to be, their job is just to hit the ball here and there. No more. Like their job is entertaining.
I agree with you. I just think you could get a host that maybe is comfortable with somebody that could actually get it out of them, and then that's where the goal is for me on TV. I feel like it is on the player to be the entertainer.
Right.
But if you can get the host to get it out of the player naturally, then you might get more than you even expected. And that's what is interesting. And I think that's what I...
Who would that be, though? Like...
I'd like to apply for that job.
Okay, well, shout out. Tell him. Get him. Hey, get Kang out
I literally,
there.
I literally, like, have trained myself, even with this, to, like, learn how to communicate. But I love this game and I love culture so much that like I even when I talked to this person, I was like, yo, like I give me an opportunity to like pitch myself, because if you put me beside JT or whoever and I say, let's hit a trap draw, it's not like I'm not going to do it better than them. I probably would in that moment because they don't really care.
Calling it out right now. Matt Cain hit trap draws better than JT.
But then asking questions of like, yo, when I went to the Grove and that's where you practice, is like, what do you think about this hole and this? And just like really getting into the game. And then equipment is huge, right?
Right.
Talking about why someone's using this Callaway blade made by Mura. Talking about why this driver head has a cross on it, you know, where it's tour issue. And like really getting into the depth of the game and the details of what someone's wearing, what someone is using, their lifestyle. And I think like we're kind of giving away answers right now. It is what it is. But that's what the matches are missing. You're getting a celebrity host or someone who's on TV and that's very corporate, right, and they're not asking questions. They're not they're not getting to know the person playing,
yeah,
and they're not, at the same time, they need to drive the match, and I think that's what it's missing.
Right, and it's not even really giving away secrets and stuff, because I got a good friend, and she works at a med spa or owns a med spa, and she starts teaching how to do these injections and all that stuff that they do. And she's just like, man, I'm happy to give people these techniques, these secrets and stuff, but they're never going to be like me. Like, we can give it to them, they're never going to be flesh out. Right, they ain't going to be Matt Cain, you know, they, so this
is
it.
Can she give me those abs?
No, I don't know about that part.
I need some abs.
No, you got to do the crunches. If I ain't got them, you ain't going to get them. She should have been hooked me up. I should have been got the discount. Dang, I'm getting them April.
Abs?
Yeah, I'm getting abs April. I'm having them in April. I don't know.
Pre-made or something?
I don't know if I'm gonna buy them or whatever.
I'm
but
buying I'm, mine.
If it ain't looking
good, I
wear
black oversized hoodies
in the summer.
But no, you're right. You're right about that. I learned that. You know, I'm petty. I get competitive, and I learned at this event that I just had. It was like, yo, I can show the formula and the sauce, but at the end of the day, what makes it was me. Yeah. And I realized like it's better to like give it out so that people could copy it and do it themselves. And then when you do it on another level, it's like, all right, people will understand. This is just better. Hopefully.
Right, right. No, I feel you on that. I feel you. Well, shoot, since you brought it up, dawg, let's get to it, to the nines. Let's get to the nines,
baby.
Dog. What's up? How was it? You want to talk about the guest list?
We can talk about the guest list
Louis
first.
Out there, too. That was crazy.
The concept of it was 12 friends.
Okay.
12 people of power and culture. But not necessarily like celebrities, you know?
So I know everything you do is intentional. So what was your thought process and intent with bringing these certain, like with who you invited in?
I wanted to show 12 of the most creative people, which it actually evolved to 16,
mm-hmm.
The greatest golf experience that they could have, which aligned with food. I think that is something that is flawed in the golf space. I don't care what anyone says. I've done all my research. I've never seen a golf tournament serve food that is the focal point of the event. It's usually like pasta at best, or hamburgers and club sandwiches and glizzies for the boy. that was like, yo, we go and experience these amazing private clubs sometimes, right? You go to them. What do you eat after? Have you had a meal that's blown your mind in your entire life playing golf?
See, bro, that's the problem, though. I will say that's true, country clubs. But when I go to, like, Rogers Park or Grand Mariah, where I used to go to in the hood, that fried chicken and fish was fire.
The family food and the soul of it is amazing, that's right?
Right, but what you're saying, I get
it. But I'm saying, like, yo, you go to Bethpage or Riviera or wherever it is.
They don't know.
It's like you're still eating a slice of pizza or a burger.
Yeah.
So when I thought about this, I was like, I'm going to align the best golf experience with the best food experience. And then it started coming around with, well, let me get the brands involved. And everything was A1, man. I brought 12. I invited 14 people thinking I only needed 12.
Right.
And every single one confirmed. Half of them flew in for it on their own dollar. So that was taken care of, which was amazing for me. And that was huge, because when I pitched this media deck to other brands to get involved, the first question they asked is, who's playing? I show them the list, and they're like, holy shit. If I can get my product on this person, I'd love to be involved.
Right, right.
So we did that. We curated the menu. It was like a sushi omakase experience. It was 20 different dishes curated by the chef. And then I started curating the brands, which was like, first it was Callaway, and then StockX got involved.
Shout out to Callaway, StockX.
Yeah, and then I was just like, all right, maybe that's enough. Maybe we just make this chill. And then like a month before the event, I woke up and I was like, yo, this is all I got. This is my pride and joy. And I actually treated it like a golf tournament where you feel and see momentum in a round, and then you just decide to play aggressive, and that's how you can shoot a 62 or 63.
Right, right.
And I was like, yo, this just feels right. I don't know what it is. So I hired an amazing videographer from Toronto who works at OVO, actually. And then I called around. I called my friend Garrett, who owns this amazing sunglass company. He's on all the celebrities, Jay-Z, like Matthew McConaughey, you name it. And then we added a couple more. And then the final two pieces for me, which was huge because, you know, I love clothes, was Louis XIII cognac.
Crazy.
So we got everybody an experience. That was the first time I did it.
I ain't never had it.
I can't afford it.
Right.
And then Dior got involved and gave everybody amenity kits, which was super special because I've always talked about wanting to bring designer and brands that I love and respect into the game.
Yeah.
And to do it first, they've never been in a golf event.
Really?
So that was really special to me. The event was crazy. I was nervous. I was anxious. Went to the bathroom a bunch.
You gotta do that. Gotta
got
do it.
Got pulled over by the police. Just snitched. My girl's gonna find out now. the day of the event. So I was just stressed out.
Dang.
But it went really well. And I was really proud of it. And I could see everybody was having a good time.
What'd you get pulled over for? They saw you with a trunk full of Dior stuff?
So I had 2 hours. I was the day before the event. I was driving back from getting my haircut from Vince.
Fresh.
Go pick up my boy Jamie and then go to Riviera and bring them to play. And that was part of the event. It was like bringing the culture to an exclusive club they've never been to.
Yeah.
So I get on the road and it's like a 30-minute drive, which with traffic, it's at 2 hours and 15 minutes.
LA, I can't stand LA.
Bro, it don't even make no sense.
No sense. I'd rather walk. Screaming. Just get out and walk.
I'm punching air in my car. And I see the HOV lane.
Oh, you good. Just play some Jay-Z and you good.
So I go in the HOV lane. And as I do that, I have my phone in my hand. And I swerve over. And literally as I swerve over in the HOV land, which I don't have anybody in the car with me. I look to my right and the guy just goes like this. I'm like, oh my God, there's no way. There's no way I'm getting pulled over right now. Pulls me over. He actually let me go off the HOV joint. I showed him a picture of my son.
Right, right.
Like, officer, I'm my new dad. I'm here for work. Please.
Right.
And he ended up giving me a ticket for using my phone while I was driving.
Oh, they don't play that in L.A.
No. Over here, you can kind of get away with it. But in L.A., it's not a joke because there's so much traffic that they could walk and just spot you.
Bro, in St. Louis, we don't have that. So I was like, one time, I was like, man, I don't know what that means. And then I found out what it was. But I was like, man, I got to get over here because this is moving too slow. I was like, if I get pulled over, I'm going to just tell the cops, I'm playing Jay-Z. I thought this was just a lane where you got to play Hov and you good. You good. And I think that might get through.
No.
I think he might think that's clever and let me go. Just
he
play
actually
some Jay-Z.
Did me a favor. I don't know what his name was, but yeah, man, it was great. It was everything I ever wanted in a tournament. The feedback was great. We dropped the Instagram video yesterday. The YouTube was supposed to drop, but I told you, like, I got my Kanye on and I dropped it and I'm redoing it all over again because it's not to the way I want it.
But by the time they get this, it should be.
Yeah, by the time this is out,
they'll get it. Okay.
And then, yeah, man, I believe there's a huge space to capture in golf. And it's not, for me, it's not content creation, which it is part of it.
Right, right.
It's events and hospitality. And I'm passionate about it. And I truly believe, like, if you look at every big corporate company, whether it be Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, hotels, watch companies, any industry that is selling a product, I can guarantee you once a year, these brands have a golf tournament activation globally.
Yeah.
One of our guests was at a Patek watch golf tournament, and he was like, yo, this event was like so big, flew people from all over the world. But it just wasn't executed the way it should have been, right?
Right, right. And they had a budget probably that's...
Probably $1 million budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And didn't do close to what you did.
No,
like,
and
the
I was
type
like,
of
yo.
Experience and storytelling.
And I think for me, the focus for me is like, why am I doing this? There's always a question, like the why. And the why for me is there's a flaw in this event golf space. And the reason is there's people that are getting into it from COVID and all these other industries that are like, yo, golf is hot. Let me capture it.
Right, right.
Bro, we've been in this game our entire lives. I know exactly what a golfer wants because I started shooting 100. I know exactly what a golf tournament needs. And then on the food aspect of it, I didn't even realize this, bro. Like, my dad was in hospitality his entire business career. He still is. And subconsciously seeing him growing up, I learned that industry without even having to really work too much into it. So I combined what I knew from my dad with what I do as for a living. And then brands is like, I'm a brand guy. Every day I'm studying the newest shoe, the sweater, like what's going on. And I put three of these worlds together. And I believe like that is my why, is like being able to do this at the highest level, whether it be for a Rolex one day or a Jordan brand one day.
Right.
And like
Patek, making it, whatever.
Making it top tier and not focusing on like the same celebrities that we see, but really focusing on powerful, influential people of culture.
Bro, those doors behind the like the people behind the doors that really make yeah. those scenes move. Like,
and community.
Make the moves, yeah.
And that's like one of the scenes in the YouTube was we had like 15 Sniper Gang members pull up. I haven't never met them in my life yet. We talked, but I've never met them. Bro, they were helping. They were caddying. They were organizing. They were cheering. They were surrounding the green. And I saw this moment of like culture, community, everything aligned. So on the last hole, it was a closest to the pin for 12 dozen golf balls. And rather than just making it for the guests, I said, yo, everybody that's here, you're all going to get a chance to hit a shot to win these balls, pause, to go home with. And unfortunately, one of the players that actually was in the event won it. But
still, they had a chance. Like, they was included.
Like, it was all included. To, right. And then they're all like smoking cigars together, talking. And for the first time, I realized like, yo, I actually executed what I envisioned, which was bringing people together.
Yeah.
So that was my like why. And, you know, I don't know when I'll do it again, but everyone's already asking me like, yo, when's the second one? So
they ready. No, you got to feed the streets, though. That's what it's about, though. That's like when you drop a hot album, everybody's already ready for the next one, man. But it's pressure at one point, but it's also just living your purpose, man, doing what you do and feel like you love. So just take a little break, you know what I'm saying? But then get ready for the next one. It's coming. It's going to be dope.
Hopefully you're there. Hopefully you're helping co-hosting.
I'm be there. I'm done caddying. I'm done.
You bailed on me, bro. I was like, yo, Christian, I need you there. I'm going to make sure you have a good time. And then.
But, hey, also, this is a breaking news. I'm back with my girl. Yeah, I didn't know the breakup.
I knew that was. I knew it happened.
I know. I'm back at the house.
I'll tell you how I knew, but I'll. I didn't expect that.
So LA just I gotta stay out of LA. LA is just not, I do not need to be in
so
LA.
You were single?
Actually, no, during your event I wasn't. So I was single during
prior to it.
Yeah, this happened like over the weekend.
And then now you're back in action.
Back home.
Welcome
my girl
to,
and my dogs. With my girl and my dogs.
So ladies, Christian is not single. Do not slide in his DMs.
Do not ask me to come to LA. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got that going.
That was it, man. It's been this whole event took a quarter of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
It's taken 3 months. And I'm now getting to the fourth month releasing the content.
Yeah.
The YouTube got delayed a week, so it's like it's going to be 4 months plus this giveaway we're doing. And I'd love to just talk about that. I'm doing a massive giveaway, which, again, this is already going to be. I might delay it now that we're talking about it. But it's going to be a one-of-one Sniper Gang golf bag by Jones. It'll be a Dior kit. It'll
shout out to Jones. Shout out to Dior.
Callaway 60-degree wedge. It'll be a box of golf balls. And then the full merch. I only have one kit left. So the whole giveaway is valued at like $2,000.
Really?
And I'm going to just give away to the community.
So what you make a decision, dog? You going to delay it or you going to do, is this going to be already done?
I don't know what we should do because I feel like this needs to be out. I mean, we could clip this reel and then post it tomorrow, which then we'll have the giveaway.
Well, we won't get this till later tomorrow.
I could push it to Saturday.
Push it to Saturday. All right.
So everyone that sees this, you get a chance to win this prize. Again, valued at $2,000, pretty much, exclusive product. I actually don't even have the bag says Sniper Gang on it.
Yeah,
I only got one made. We only had 18 bags, and I kept that aside. So you're gonna get a one of one, and then the merch. It's like you saw at the start of the. I got a phone call from the homie. They were wearing it.
Yeah,
by reigning champ. And yeah, we're gonna give it all away.
Hey, shout out to Sniper Gang. Hey, everybody got the Sniper Gang logo on the bio.
If you're a gang, you know, if you're a member of the gang, and you need that Sniper logo, hit me or hit Christian. We'll send it to you. But dude, it's crazy because I was like talking about it with the community as a joke, And then someone sent it to me and I was like, yo, and they're like, yo, we should put this in our bio. And it made me realize, like, we all dream of being popular, getting a blue check and being relevant. And it's like, yo, this community, you're going to see this little logo on everyone's bio and you're gonna not even going to realize we have executives from StockX with it. We got creatives. We got artists. We have the community. We have kids. We have dads. We have everybody. I think right now, I calculated roughly, I have about 150 people with that logo on their Instagram.
Gang profile. Shit. Love that.
The power of community is so much bigger than spending marketing dollars to be seen.
Bro, that's what they missing. And that's what brands are missing. That's really it.
It is.
Well, we got it, though. We got it on lock.
So.
What we got, dog? We gonna do some, man, phone popping, money steady calling, my boy.
My phone been blowing up today.
Some money steady calling, my boy.
I'm telling you, bro, the To The Nines content. I told you I believe in it, and it's gonna change everything for me. And it's been out for half a day, and my phone's been blowing up.
Hey, it's just the beginning. Day one of it. Day one. Well, all right, let's go to the next segment. I mean, we ain't got really. Do we got flush it or flush it?
You know, we talked about it, and I just there wasn't many collabs and clothing drops. I'd say, Quiet Golf. Congratulations to Diego, Raul, CL. They had a huge investment today.
Yeah, I just saw that.
They announced it on Forbes. They got a huge investment to help their brand take it to the next level. They hired an advisor. As well, a really smart mind. And I think for them, you saw Malbon hire a new CEO.
Right.
You're seeing Quiet Golf slowly take up this industry and capture it. And a little preview, Quiet Golf and I have a collab for the waste management.
Damn. Hey, 2025 going to be a big year for them, especially with y'all doing all that. Hey, we also, revisiting our Flush It or Flush It collaborations from last week or last episode, the Malbon thing.
What about it?
I don't know. I want to revisit. I don't know. I might need to flush it, dog. I was thinking about it. The CEO, he's been in multiple companies, and they've all just fallen off from Nike.
Wait, so you did your research?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to do research before, but now I'm really trying to figure out when was he at Tommy Hilfiger. I think that's really important to me.
Why are you asking that?
Tommy Hilfiger had a racist stretch for a little while in like the early 2000s, late 1990s, 1900s. I think that there was some controversy with him. I need to know if he was involved with the mix and what was going on with that. And then since then, Nike has fallen off. I don't know if this is a good move for Malbon.
You know,
I might need to flush it.
I remember you brought it up, and I think Gap was one of the jobs. You brought it up at the last episode, and I actually haven't indulged into it yet.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know your opinion.
I'm about to look. No, I need to know. I don't have an opinion until I know the facts. I need to know when he was with Tommy. He had to be there in the back. He was part of it. I know he was. Oh my God, he looked like he was part of it.
No, but I'm really glad you brought this up because I think we live in this golf space where like everything is like, yo, I got this package. Look at this shirt, this brand drop. This is cool. This is great. But like, bro, that's not culture, man. Culture has been like, yo, there's something going on. I like it or I don't like it.
Right.
And no one talks about that in golf.
Yeah, that's true.
We're in this phase where people are like, oh, my outfits don't fit the country clubs. It's like, okay, that's bullshit. No one cares. We need to talk about real shit.
Yeah.
You know, we need to bring real awareness. So a perfect example is talking about my friends at Quiet Golf. They're a dope brand. They're clearly making moves because they got a big group of people to invest into the company.
Right.
And it's not on any of the golf platform media pages. And to me, I wonder, I bring awareness in my group chat of like, why not? Is it because they're not paying for it? Is it because it's not good enough for these pages to talk about? Is it relationship based?
That might be.
Are we in a space now in golf where everything is relationship based, where I'm only going to do you a favor if you do one for me? And I get it. Business is business. But if you're here to talk about culture and relevance,
right,
you need to talk about what's going on. And another example is I dropped these shoes. I wore these shoes at my event. By my friends at Good Luck. It's a new golf shoe. It's like a different take on the classic FootJoy.
Okay.
The shoes don't drop till next year.
Gotcha.
They have one pair in existence, and it says one of one, Sniper Kang, and they delivered to me in an Uber. And the packaging was crazy. I posted it on my Instagram. I did a whole write-up. The next week, which was yesterday or so, they did a collab post with Hype Golf. And I'm just like, why isn't my shoe talked about?
Right. Yeah.
You have digital images, and no one actually has the shoe but me.
Right.
So I'm not asking for love. I'm not asking for credit. What I'm saying is, why aren't we talking about, you know, when someone leaks a Jordan shoe first?
Dog.
Yeah, when someone leaks a Jordan shoe first, that shit is on every sneaker platform.
Right.
So if that's the case, if it's worthy of an actual hard post, why aren't these platforms talking about it? Why aren't all you golf sneaker reviewers talking about the shoe that I actually have and wore?
Why? That's what we need to know.
That's... Same with when I came in here, I was like, oh, you're wearing the new Quiet Golf polo. I don't even have it.
Right.
And I was like,
post this.
Exactly. Well, it's already out now, but point is like, you had it before me, and I'm like, oh, that's dope.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Was real.
I'm not going to go in there and be like, oh, this motherfucker's got that shirt.
Bro, but they out there, it's haters out there, dog.
It's not even about love or hate. It's just about culture is like, it's about putting the product and the movement before yourself.
They ain't gonna do that, though. It's the world we live in, though. But it can't be changed. We can be leaders in that movement and just show the way.
We can try.
Lead by example, though. That's all we got, for real.
It is. So I think like with the flushed or flush it for this week, like, to be honest with you, and there's no disrespect, there's been collabs over the last couple of weeks that have dropped. Not interested. Nothing that's changing the game for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say who or what because it's just. There's nothing going on in the golf clothing space right now.
We just talk about the gatekeepers. We just flush the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers, the old way of doing things, having to, you know, build a relationship or pay to get your stuff here and there, or, you know, people just not being real about what's out there. And we just flush all that, you know. It's time to be
cap
real
golfers,
about this.
Bro. That's what
golfers.
They are.
Cap all that.
So.
Shout out to
that's really my that's my rant for the day. I feel like that I said what I needed to say.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you think?
No, that's it, man. I appreciate, you know, we appreciate the audience for real. This is episode 2. We're going to keep it going. I appreciate everybody with all the love. I appreciate the haters even more quiet as it kept, you
love
know.
Love y'all. I want to apologize to you, too. I know we're trying to do this, and you've been so hands-on. This event has taken so much time, and, like, I've just been all over the place. So I'll continue to do my best to, like, prioritize this and... I just felt over the last week I haven't given you as much feedback as I usually do, but it was also because this event was just like...
No, you got to knock this out.
It was a lot.
I get that, but we got to get this match in, though. That's all I'm saying. That's all. He ducking the match. He just got done apologizing for acting crazy.
He's too busy doing hat ads and whatnot.
Chill out, cuz. Anyway, though, we'll catch up, though. Hopefully more is going on in the golf world. We got some more collabs and stuff coming through, but... We'll get it going. Episode 3 coming up in a couple weeks at y'all. Hey, good luck to whoever. Do they need to do anything in particular to be a part of the
giveaway?
Yeah, the giveaway.
Just check my Instagram. It'll be open for everybody.
There it is, right there. All right. That's it. Flush Hour coming at
you. We out.